90.4 FM.
More complex than ever before. Joining the conversation to empower you with essential tools is the associate at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, Abigail Butcher. Ms. Butcher, good evening and thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening and thank you so very much for having me, specifically after Human Rights Day yesterday.
That essentially is the focus of our conversation this evening, Abigail. Absolute pleasure. Appreciate your time. What is the legal responsibility of the employee in terms of ensuring that employees are safe from discrimination?
So I think this is a very important issue to discuss on Human Rights Day, but also in light of our context of unemployment in this country, because I think unfair discrimination in the workplace has a very interesting position in that it's often not discussed because, you know, it's someone's bread and butter. It's also not something that one often expects. It's often something that comes up unexpected in a work environment and takes an employee and sometimes the employers by surprise. So bearing that in mind and the context in which it operates, there's a number of pieces of legislation that regulate unfair discrimination in this country, some of which are specific to employment context and others which are not. So, for example, PEPUDA, which is the Promotion of Equality and Prevention of Unfair Discrimination Act, regulates discrimination in relation to the state and individuals, but specifically excludes itself from application to employees because the Employment Equity Act and the Labor Relations Act specifically regulate unfair discrimination with employees and employees in the workplace. And these pieces of legislation are quite strong and robust in their formulation in the protection of unfair discrimination. So in the Employment Equity Act, for example, there are provisions which place an onus on every employer to take steps to promote equal opportunities in the workplace by eliminating unfair discrimination in any policy or practice, an employment policy or practice. And that's extremely wide-reaching because employment policies or practices include anything ranging from recruitment to appointment to job grading to the environment, training, promotion, you know, all of these aspects that apply to an employment relationship. So it's really quite wide in its protection and the way that it's drafted. And then it goes a step further. It says every employer has an obligation to ensure equality and the prevention of unfair discrimination. It goes further in Section 6 to say that there are specific instances in which discrimination would be considered unfair, whether directly or indirectly. And that's an interesting point as well because it casts the net quite widely. But these are listed grounds on which discrimination is automatically presumed to be unfair. And these include, you know, the ones that we're used to, that they're listed in the Constitution and are considered listed constitutional grounds, such as race, gender, sex, pregnancy, sexual orientation, and the lack of those grounds.
Mm.
The Act goes one step further, even though. It says that there are all of these listed grounds, but then there's also room for an unfair discrimination claim on any arbitrary ground. So anything that isn't reasonable or justifiable, you know, can be couched in terms of an unfair discrimination claim. So the legislation is quite far-reaching, and the obligations on employers are quite robust. Employers and employees are, you know, equally, they're quite robust.
How does an employee, if he or she feels discriminated against owing to what possibly gender, body rights, or personal information, what sort of recourse do they have?
So that's an interesting question in that there's recourse in relation to an employee experiencing unfair discrimination from another employee, and then also just unfair discrimination claims in general. So the provision in Section 60 of the Employment Equity Act, which speaks to an employee's ability to lay a claim or hold an employer responsible for another employee's alleged breach of a provision of the Employment Equity Act. So it essentially works quite similarly to vicarious liability, in the sense that where it can be shown that an employee has breached a provision of the Employment Equity Act, or if the employer acted in the way that the employee had, that it would constitute a breach of the Act, then the onus shifts onto the employer, once it's reported, to consult and really take measures to prevent it from ever happening again or to make sure that it's dealt with internally. And a claim can be laid in instances where the employer hasn't discharged that onus, and also hasn't taken reasonably practicable steps to prevent that form of discrimination arising in the workplace. So there was a NUMSA judgment in October 2021 which said, you know, this claim lays open to employees, but also employers have the defense to say that, you know, if they have taken these steps to prevent discrimination in the workplace, such as policies and training and awareness sessions and counseling in instances where, you know, forms of unfair discrimination have occurred, you know, then that's the defense that they can lay. But more simplistically, the employee who lays an unfair discrimination claim has remedies in terms of the Labour Relations Act, for Section 187, is able to bring an unfair discrimination claim. It can be referred to the CCMA and then on non-resolution taken to the Labour Court, but can also go to arbitration in instances where the employee is earning lower than the threshold in the Basic Conditions of Employment Act, or it's a case of sexual harassment, so an allegation on the basis of the listed ground of sex, or the parties agree they can go to arbitration. So essentially, the Labour Court or the CCMA are the first port of call for someone looking to pursue dispute resolution on this ground.
I'm just wondering how this recently gazetted code of practice will have an impact in terms of what we've been speaking about this evening, Abigail, because the code of practice, as I'm sure you're aware, for managing exposure to COVID in the workplace requires workers to disclose their vaccination status and produce a certificate if asked to do so. According to the reports, the new code limits the legal grounds that people can use to refuse to be vaccinated, and it gives clear guidelines for workers who cannot be vaccinated for medical reasons. As what you were saying in terms of the practical steps that employers have to take, I presume it also implies around the operations policy around COVID.
So that code is interesting in the sense that it comes into play once the national state of disaster is no longer in practice. So we don't yet see it enforced at the moment because the national state of disaster has now been extended. But you make a very relevant point, and I think the conversation of unfair discrimination and vaccinations needs to be considered holistically with the previous directive by the Department of Labour, which said conduct a risk assessment. So take a look at your workforce, conduct a risk assessment, and determine on the basis of that risk assessment whether or not mandatory vaccination is necessary. And where employers have done that and then implemented the mandatory vaccination policy, which ostensibly looks to protect both employer and employee interests, then in that instance deal with issues of refusal to vaccinate within the boundaries of that policy, but then also within the boundaries of the new code. And then I know you mentioned that it limits the grounds. One ground which remains is that of medical refusal, there are instances of recognized medical referral. But at the end of the day, any refusal to vaccinate off the back of the implementation of the mandatory vaccination policy must be considered in line with the risk assessment, must be considered in line with everyone's rights and whether or not an employee can be reasonably accommodated. So it's not the first port of call to say, well, you said no to vaccination, we're going to dismiss. That's not the way that the code works. It's not the way that the department or any of the gazettes that have been issued have emphasized the rolling out. It's really a situation of to what extent is your reason for non-vaccination valid, legitimate, supported by evidence? To what extent can you be accommodated? To what extent can you be counseled? So the code makes provision, for example, to referral to a medical practitioner, to counseling the individual employee. So really it's a very useful document for employers and employees both, in the sense that unfair discrimination has at its core these concepts of consulting, making sure that an act of unfair discrimination is committed on the basis of training and awareness. And then that's essentially what the code aims to do. It says, look, let's train, let's make people aware of the necessity of vaccination, and then let's follow legitimate guidelines in order to deal with with employee safety, because at the end of the day, the core concern is that employers must, in terms of their obligations under OSHA, ensure a safe working environment for everyone, including employees who have vaccine hesitancy or have grounds to refuse mandatory vaccination.
I'm glad that you mentioned the clarity around that, so thank you for that. The code of practice coming into effect once the national state of disaster comes to an end. In fact, Abigail, we may get some clarity on that, because I see through the wires that the president is going to be addressing the nation. Just lastly, what are the key points then for employees, for employers, to look out for regarding discrimination amongst their employees?
So I think from an employer perspective, it's the concept of making employees aware of their rights. So understanding what policies are available within the workplace, what policies apply to them as well. What are their rights of recourse within the workplace? What are their rights of recourse externally in terms of dispute resolution? And then also just training on sensitivity and awareness. So I think we live in a country where we have a melting pot of workplaces. And I think that there's often a need, whether it be on the issue of race, whether it be on the issue of age, whether it be on sexual orientation, that there's often a place for a consultative awareness and sensitivity to be cultivated within the workplace. And I think that employers' focus should be on cultivating that middle ground on those issues where unfair discrimination claims really do start to arise. So I think make sure that there's policies in place, make sure your employees are aware of those policies, and make sure that those procedures are followed through on. And I think that's a good starting point to A, equip employees, and B, equip the company in dealing with what is unfortunately turned out to be almost an inevitable concern, and one that we need to guard ourselves against in workplaces.
Abigail Butcher, Associates at Cliff Decker Hofmeyr, appreciate your time. Abigail, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It was an absolute pleasure.
Certainly appreciate your insights on providing us with a rather comprehensive view of the legal responsibilities of an employee in ensuring that a working environment, for example, does in fact protect the rights of his or her employees.